Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Anthea Cereceto, CEO at Governing Body Foundation. Anthea, very good afternoon to you.
And good afternoon to you and everyone who's tuned in.
And thank you so much for making time this evening to chat to us. So let's kick off and chat about what's happened. Why has the discipline within our schools deteriorated to such an extent that the pupils, they just seem to have no fear of any consequences or repercussions? They seem to just do what they want to do. What has actually happened here?
Yeah, you asked a very, very serious question, which everybody's asking. I mean, there's been some horrific incidents across the country in the last few days. It's quite honestly out of hand at some schools, but it is linked very much to the prevailing culture in the community, in a family, in a school. And one has to deal with those particular things. And I say, actually, we have to begin with the adults. So who are the adults in the community where these things are happening? And what are these children seeing role models for them? And if we look at what we see in our media, we see acts of violence going unpunished, acts of criminality of various sorts going unpunished. We see our legislature, the Houses of Parliament in chaos. If children see a kind of failure of anybody to behave according to any norms laid down and doing so without consequences, that's what they're seeing. So we have a problem of adults role modeling, but it also is, we have to deal with gangs and real crime amongst youth with a whole separate discipline approach. Those things have to be dealt with, and we have to look at international experiences and see what we can do, because that is another matter entirely.
Yeah, I totally get that, absolutely. And Anthea, perhaps in your view, since the banishing of corporal punishment within schools, do you think that this was a bad thing?
No.
What's your thoughts?
Corporal punishment was very bad and should, and has caused, in fact, a lot of the trouble that that exists today. This violent society that you only behave under pain of whatever. We have to think about discipline completely differently, and that's what we have not been able to inculcate across our system. So we need totally new discipline approaches. There's no quick fix to discipline. You can't give a child a quick slap and then hope that the child is going to do the right thing when you're not present. We need to start with at a much earlier age with new approaches to discipline. And I have a model of discipline, and I have an A, B, C, D, E of different approaches that schools and families even can adopt in order to work with discipline in a rights culture. Because so much of the old disciplinary methods didn't take note of rights of children, not to be hurt, for instance, as well as their dignity. I mean, teachers would say the most outrageous things to children and they would just have to take it, so there was humiliation and all that sort of thing. And humiliation will manifest itself in anger in some children. In others, it's just withdrawal. So we do have to take note that we have rights, and both teachers and the people who work in schools have those rights, but children also have the rights. So we need a much more respectful culture, and the relationships and connections in schools have to be healthier. So just working with the cane, not going to work at all. It didn't work in the past. It created a society of today, which is certainly not a model and an exemplar for the use of a cane. And family discipline, where people just, you know, randomly hit each other and lash out at each other. It's bad. So, yes, I'm glad that's eliminated and illegal in our system. It's still used in some places illegally, of course, but it is still used. But a quick fix won't work with discipline. We have to work much harder on more difficult things, such as understanding that any kind of behavior is a form of communication. And anger is one of the communications that we've been hearing a lot lately. The child who burnt the teacher, the principal, or deputy's car. What provoked that? Well, had that child been human, and I don't want to place the blame on the deputy principal or anything like that, but we don't know what's behind that child's conduct. So conduct actually communicates something, and we've got to try and understand what. And then emotions actually give us information. So we've got to analyze and work with emotions, and children need to be able to work with their emotions better and not only have a range of two or three emotions, but have a whole range and be able to identify them and to process them in a way that leads to solutions and is not a lashing out, reactive form of communication that we need. We need to work with children from a young age. And when this is being put in place at a young age, you have peaceful school communities. So that's one thing. And then also the matter that the school should be a community and everybody in the school should feel the belonging of a community. And I think that's where we've lost it. We have some people in the school feeling alienated from the school's culture for whatever reason, and so they behave in a way that doesn't accord with the norms of that particular school community, and that's what gets them into trouble. And when they're in trouble, they then cause further trouble, basically to meet some basic needs. So there are also needs that are not being met. So there's so much that has to be looked at. So it's the adults, it's behavior, what is it communicating? The community response to misbehavior should try to bring the child into the community, into a restored relationship. We've got to deal with dignity issues. It never works to insult and humiliate. Emotion education. Those are sort of the five ways that we have to relook at discipline.
And I think, Anthea, as you said also earlier, role models, so important, huh?
Yes, you know, we have a serious problem. We have a serious problem. I think we don't communicate properly. People don't communicate properly, and so people are not listened to. And because they're not listened to, they have to take extreme action in order to be heard. That's what's been modeled. So, you know, when we have protests and a street is closed down, the buses couldn't set off from Putco the other day because a driver had put something in the fire in the way. That is now a more extreme action because of some unmet something. In this case, it was a labor, you know, salary dispute. But the methods for salary dispute resolution need to be followed properly. And again, the people in those disputes need to be heard properly. But we see too many examples where people don't use the processes that are available. They take an extreme action. But usually that extreme action comes after not having been heard. And that's very common in school. There are signs that the child is going to explode because the child needs are not being met. The child is not being heard. And we have to listen. And, you know, this puts a terrible burden on teachers. And, you know, we don't want them to come out as the bad people in this, but they are stuck in the middle of trying to have right conduct in school when communities around them are not displaying the right conduct.
Absolutely. Anthea, unfortunately, we have run out of time. And thank you so much for chatting to us about, obviously, what's happening with the youth of today in schools. And we appreciate that. Anthea Cerasetto, CEO of Governing Body Foundation.